It is that time. What is going on, beautiful people? Nashville, Middle Tennessee, wherever it is that you stream 104.5 The Zone, via the app, via the website, via Facebook Live, Periscope, YouTube, or Twitch TV, we welcome you in on this Monday. A lot of good stuff that we have gotten to over the course of the show, by the way, if you want to interact. 615-737-1045. If you want to leave us a comment, you can do so. I can see literally, there's, like I said, there's 9 screens in front of me. I get all your comments directly to my face, just like Joel Butcher, who writes in on Facebook Live saying, Buck, the Cousin Eddie of the Zone, showed up one day and can't get rid of him. It's true. You're stuck with me, at least on this contract. You're stuck with me unless I get fired for cause for the life of this deal. Hate to break it to you, folks. 615-737-1045. Who is Cousin Eddie? Should I know that reference? I have no idea who Cousin Eddie is. Google it, Lucas. Send you scrambling.
Oh, from the Christmas movie, Christmas Vacation.
I don't think I've ever seen it.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, is that, I can't say the word, but it's full?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chevy Chase.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know the outfit because I've seen so many people dress up like it for Halloween. I don't think I've ever actually seen the movie. Anyway, I am Cousin Eddie, and I don't know, the bathroom is not full. That doesn't work quite as well. Anyway, 615-737-1045. We are going to get into a lot of draft talk, given that the NFL draft is 10 days away, and I am excited about it. So excited that I even talked myself into doing a mock draft. Here's my thing about mock drafts, right? We put it on a poll. And the poll is, at Buck Rising is where you can vote on the polls. You can follow Lucas at Lucas Panzeca. You can follow the radio station at 104.5 The Zone. But in the meantime, the polls. How many mock drafts is too many mock drafts? Something we put out before the show got started this morning. 5, 10, 15 plus, those are your options. Right now, 5 is too many. 10, with 17% of the audience. 15 plus 27% of the audience. So 5 is too many mock drafts, according to most people. Now, it's a long pre-draft process, and the Draft Network has made these things infinitely easier to do. This is my first one, and it's April the 19th, so I feel fairly accomplished in holding out as long as I did. It's just, largely, the simulations are useless to me. Like, the simulations are useless because they don't follow the information that's being reported, right? When Adam Schefter lends his credibility to the idea that Mac Jones is going to go third to the 49ers, but the simulation, recognizing the talent of Justin Fields being greater than Mac Jones, takes Justin Fields, then the simulations are void, and it's only 3 picks in.
Mine had Trey Lance with the 3rd pick.
We'll get to yours later. Dane Brugler, by the way, the godfather of The Athletic and their draft coverage, is coming up next. You'll want to stay tuned for that. A lot of good draft conversation being had around the zone for until and up and to and through the NFL draft. By the way, if you listen to 104.5 The Zone for the latest news and the best coverage of the NFL draft, it is brought to you by Two Rivers Ford. Two Rivers Ford, powered by Ford, driven by people. Good folks. So what I did and what Lucas and I have done for today's show, and I think we're going to do it quite a bit over the course of this pre-draft process in the waning days until the NFL draft, is we're going to do mock drafts. We're going to do mock drafts on a regular basis, and this is going to be the place where we find the greatest amount of discussion. Now, I am a little more meticulous. Like, I care. I do my research up and through the 7th round. Like, I want to know who these guys are. Now, it's not on a timer. It's not a real-life situation through the mock draft simulation on the Draft Network, but because they're so easy to do and because everybody has access to them, you see everybody screenshotting and taking pictures of their drafts and tweeting, you know, tweeting me, tweeting Brent, tweeting, you know, Ramon, tweeting Jason, like everybody across the zone. Hey, what do you guys think of my mock draft? What do you guys think of this mock draft? What do you think of that mock draft? It's incessant. It never ends. But now we're actually in the part of this where we can talk about it at length. So we'll do my mock draft now. We'll get to Lucas's after Dane Brugler of The Athletic, who's going to break down a lot of these prospects at length. So, with the, let me count them, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 selections that the Tennessee Titans had. Now, this is no trades. This is straight up, which is also unrealistic. But let me quit diminishing my mock draft before I tell you who I selected with my mock draft. Now, first, in the first round on Thursday, 22nd overall, I have the Tennessee Titans selecting Caleb Farley. Caleb Farley makes a ton of sense for a great many reasons. We spent a lot of time on him. He's probably the most freakish athletic player that will fall to the 20s because of the medical evaluation. Now, the medical evaluation turned out for him to be fairly good. And if you want to know who went before and directly after Caleb Farley in my mock draft, at 21, the Colts took Rashad Bateman, who, of course, the Titans should have some degree of interest in. And at 23, directly after the Titans, the New York Jets took Greg Newsome, who is probably regarded as the third best corner in this draft. Scheme versatile for sure. You can play him in a lot more places than you can, whether it's Surtain, whether it's I'm blanking on the South Carolina corner.
J.C. Horn.
J.C. Horn. Whether it's J.C. Horn, whether it's Caleb Farley, Greg Newsome is regarded as the most scheme versatile player in this draft, or at least of the top corners. So Caleb Farley at 22 is where I decided to spend the Titans draft capital. Then in the second round, I took Brevin Jordan, who is the draft comp is literally Jonnu Smith. If you're looking for tight end one, maybe he's not ready or as ready as Jonnu was in his last year here in Tennessee to be your starting tight end right out of the gate, but he's as close as you can get by comparison. Brevin Jordan, the tight end out of Miami. Now, here's where I kind of took a different approach, because I'm going into my mock draft looking at the Tennessee Titans and saying, okay, financially, they still have some work to do to get under the salary cap when the top 53 contracts count against the cap. Right now, if you look at top 51, they're sitting about $6 million under as the contracts of Bud Dupree, of Janoris Jenkins, of Denico Autry have been reported. Based on that information, the Titans are about $6 million under the cap based on all of the information that we have available to us on the internet. And I'm looking at Roger Saffold's contract. And I'm looking at Roger Saffold's age. I'm also looking at Roger Saffold's workout pictures and videos because they are insane what this man is doing on the internet. But right now, Roger Saffold, in his second year with the Tennessee, or excuse me, his third year, going into his third year with the Tennessee Titans, at age 32, Roger dealt with a lot of different what do you want to call him? He's a little banged up last year. Now, he played through it, to his credit, as much as he could. And he's a tough dude. He's a physically overpowering player. But I looked at Trey Smith sitting there at 85, and I said, at some point, you're going to have to replace Roger Saffold. And I think that Trey Smith is really, really good value there for the Tennessee Titans. Understanding that you have needs at wide receiver, understanding that you have needs at tackle, at edge, at safety. But I looked at Trey Smith sitting there at 85, of course, Trey Smith from Tennessee, and I said, that's too good to pass up. I took James Hudson with the Titans' next selection because they have two in the, well, they have four picks in the first 3 days, or excuse me, in the first 2 days. Four picks in the first 2 days. And so I saw Trey Smith sitting there at 85. I saw James Hudson at 100, the tackle out of Cincinnati, and I said, okay, that makes a lot of sense. Now, people are going to be screaming at me, where is the wide receiver? Where is the wide receiver? And I waited until the fourth round to take Dez Fitzpatrick, the wide receiver, out of Louisville for this reason. Because, Lucas, what did you did your mock draft this morning. We'll get to your mock draft after we get to Dane Brugler. But you were doing your mock draft this morning, and what did you say to me of the wide receivers in this draft class?
There's a lot of them.
There's a lot of them. There are so damn many wide receivers. And everybody is gravitating towards the names that they recognize because those are the biggest names, those are the best names, and those are the names that are going to continue to get circulated without paying due attention to all of the other wide receivers in this draft. Dez Fitzpatrick is a good player. Now, he's not explosively athletic. The college career of Dez Fitzpatrick was not flashy. They did not have a good football team. They did not have a good quarterback situation at Louisville after Lamar Jackson left. But what stands out to me about Fitzpatrick, particularly in this Titans offense, is that he's physical and he's a technician as a route runner, meaning you can put him in a bunch of different places and he will understand a fully formed route tree, or he will get better at it as he develops as a pro. There's a lot of good things to like there about Dez Fitzpatrick. He's competitive after the catch. Yards after contact is what this offense thrives upon. Yes, they do at some point need speed. Without question. They need somebody who is going to be capable of, if not catching a deep ball, at least shifting the secondary, shifting the safeties to attract attention and helping take the top off of defense. Des Fitzpatrick is not that player, but he's a good wide receiver. He's one of so many in this draft. It's why I felt comfortable waiting until the fourth round in my mock draft to take him. Then at 166, Jonathan Cooper, the edge defender out of Ohio State, probably one of the Ohio State's defense was totally mismatched against Alabama's offense in the championship game, but Jonathan Cooper is somebody that stood out to me. Mustafa Johnson, interior defensive lineman. Ernest Jones from South Carolina, the linebacker. And then with 232, I took a quarterback, Sam Ehlinger, out of Texas. That is my mock draft. It addresses a lot of the needs. The only player that, or the only position that I did not draft was safety. Now we'll get with Dane Brugler coming up next of The Athletic. He puts out the Beast, the biggest, baddest draft handbook of all of the draft handbooks, and there are many. Dane will tell me how realistic or how viable my mock draft is. We'll do Lucas's in this hour as well. But I got to remind you that all of our draft coverage here on 104.5 The Zone is brought to you by the way, not just the draft coverage, but the mock draft, the Zone mock draft that's going on now. It's presented by Chattanooga Whiskey. You can take a tour of 104.5 The Zone's 2021 mock draft and then submit who you think the Tennessee Titans will select in the first round of the draft for a chance to win a prize pack from Chattanooga Whiskey. To enter, go to 1045thezone.com/contest, and you can see who all of the Zone on-air staff has selected for their Titans mock draft. Dane Brugler coming up next. I'm Buck Rising, and this is 1045 The Zone. Draft coming up in 10 days is in scenic Cleveland, Ohio, but our next guest, a native of Cleveland. A native Ohioan. It feels like if you want anything to do with the NFL or football in general, you have to come out of the state of Ohio. Or at least that's what Mike Vrabel would tell you. Dane Brugler of The Athletic is here on 104.5 The Zone. You can follow Dane at DP Brugler. My brother, what's going on? Long time no talk.
That Mr. Vrabel's a smart man. He knows his football. When you're born here, you kind of have a football in your hand, and you got Canton and everything else, all the rich tradition. So definitely very proud of that.
No question about it. Now, are you calling him Mr. Vrabel because he looks like somebody who must be called Mr. Vrabel? Because I feel like if you had a draft of coaches who you would have to put Mr. in front of, Vrabel might be up there.
That's exactly right. Some guy, Mr. Vrabel, hey, how you doing? Yeah, no, that's exactly it.
So Dane is the author of the much-anticipated, out-now Beast, well worth your time for your subscription and your dollars, well worth your subscription, at theathletic.com for all of the great journalism being done there. He also has a new 7-round mock draft out that we will get to momentarily. For a long time there, though, Dane, I think I was 23 Vrabel's first year on the job covering the team, and I felt like in a press conference setting like I was grilling one of my parents' dads, and it felt very, very uncomfortable for me for a long time. So I almost one time called him Mr. Vrabel, but that's a conversation for another day. The Tennessee Titans right now are in an interesting situation. They are cap-strapped like all hell. They have first-round draft capital, but not necessarily in a place where you want to be picking in the first round, given their season success last year winning the division, 22 overall. I think, Dane, where you have the Titans right now selecting in the first round at 22, I think most people think it makes more sense for the Titans to trade out, but the thing that goes it doesn't go under-discussed or not discussed at all, but the idea of trading back, you have to have somebody who's willing to come up to 22, and that's not as easy. It's not as easily said as it is done.
Right, and I think in most drafts, and this one isn't too different, there's about 20 first-round grades or so, and then picks 21 to 50, you feel like there's not much separation there. And so I hear a lot of fans from teams in that back half of round one say, we'll trade back. That's the best thing to do. And great plan, but you need someone to trade. You need a trading partner there. And who's going to trade up? Is there going to be a quarterback there that a team's going to trade up for? Which position is going to be a strength there that the team's going to really want to trade assets to move up? So I think it's great in theory, but it's going to be tough to pull off. And I think, you know, the Titans, you know, the Jets, the Browns, there's a few teams there that I think are looking to trade back, but it's tough to do. But I think when you look at the Titans and some of their needs on this roster, it might actually work out well with where they're drafting. Pass rusher, it's you know, we've been spoiled the last few years with the top 10 guy, whether that's the Bosas, whether that's Chase Young, you know, whether that's Myles Garrett. This year we don't have that guy,
right?
But there's still some quality pass rushers in this draft, and they're really all in that back half of round one, talking about Quiddy Pay or Aziz Ojulari or Jalen Phillips, you know, Jason Owe, whichever one, you know, is your favorite. There's a chance Titans will have their chance at them at 22. So there's a realistic possibility that the Titans could draft their top-ranked pass rusher in this draft. I think Christian Barmore, the defensive lineman out of Alabama, is going to be very intriguing. I don't know that that's necessarily the top need, but when you think of, you know, John Robinson, and, you know, he loves SEC linemen. I mean, he wants to build in the trenches, and so I think that's a possibility there. You look at corner as a possibility with maybe a Greg Newsome out of Northwestern, you know, Caleb Farley out of Virginia Tech, and, you know, his fall from grace being a top 10 talent, but with the medicals involved, he's got a big discount sticker on his draft grade. So, you know, could he be a possibility there? So there's a lot of, you know, we have to see how the first 20 picks play out. Obviously, that's going to determine a lot. But the Titans, they might be in a good spot at 22 to get a player that fits what they're looking for, both talent and needs, to help them in this upcoming season.
See, the positions that you just mentioned there, Dane, and I think this is where most Titans fans are kind of at odds with a lot of the analysis being done in the draft, is those are defensive positions. Obviously, the Titans defense, mm-hmm, atrocious last year. Now, they have gone out and addressed that through free agency with Bud Dupree, DeNico Autry. They blew up their secondary a little bit, but went out and got Janoris Jenkins, who still, by game pass, watching him with the Saints last year, seems to have a fair amount of good football left in him. But at this point, they're looking at their offense and saying, well, we got used to scoring 30.1 points per game. We let Corey Davis walk. Jonnu Smith is now a New England Patriot. The skill position players here in Tennessee are obviously still very, very talented, A.J. Brown and Derrick Henry. But the idea of going defense over offense, I think, is unless it's a corner, given what we just talked about with the secondary, I think most people would kind of turn their nose up at that. But I think what you've said there about John Robinson and the identity of this team, or of what he's trying to build this team back into, has to start in the trenches and on the defensive side of the ball. Now, you've selected in your latest mock draft, a 7-round mock draft that's available right now at theathletic.com, along with Dane Brugler's draft guide, The Beast, one of the most, if not the most, comprehensive draft guide of all of the draft guides. By the way, thank you so much for all that you do, Dane, to make people like me smarter with that draft guide. It's invaluable for all of us who are talking constantly about the draft leading up to the pre-draft process. But Christian Barmore, the defensive tackle out of Alabama, I think the question for me is where exactly would he play, understanding that you're not just going to trot two defensive tackles out there and they're going to play every snap. Obviously, at every position on defense, there's going to be some kind of a rotation. But with Jeffrey Simmons, right, and DeNico Autry, I don't know necessarily what I guess makes him intriguing with two players like that, understanding that he wouldn't be seeing the bulk of the snaps.
Well, and I think that's, we have to remember that, you know, the first people, most fans will correlate their first round pick with the top need. And that's just, we watch the draft every year, and that's just not how it plays out. You know, it, the board doesn't always fall that way, where, you know, the top need matches the top talent. But it, also a lot of GMs, they're forward thinking. They're not just thinking about that, the upcoming season and, okay, what's the missing piece? You know, it's not like Madden, where that's what you're trying to do. You're looking at long term, you know, what would make us the best football team. And, you know, a guy like Barmore, who's a redshirt sophomore, you know, still very young, still learning, but the ceiling on this player is super high. 6'4", 310, almost 34-inch arms. He's a guy that just doesn't like to stay blocked. And so you can line him up. He played more of a defensive end role at Alabama in their 3-4, their hybrid front. But you can mix and match him. And, you know, with guys that you're running a rotation out there anyways, he's still going to see a good amount of snaps. So I don't think that's as much of a worry, me personally. But I would understand why some fans would be, you know, kind of look at that and say, well, that's not what we need. That's not, and I get that, but kind of how the board falls, I think it's at least a possibility, especially when you factor in John Robinson, the way, you know, he wants to build in the trenches. He loved SEC guys. Five of the last six picks in the first two rounds, SEC guys. And I think, you know, to your point on offense, Kyle Pitts is going early. The next tight end is not going to be off the board until probably the mid-second round. So tight end's not an option there at 22. Wide receiver could be. You know, you don't rule that out at all. But I think with the wide receiver class this year, the way it stretches, I think you can feel pretty confident that maybe you can find another quality talent like an A.J. Brown in round two, in round three, because of the way that this wide receiver class is, how strong it is, and how it's going to push some good players that maybe normally would go second round, maybe to the third round, and just, you know, the way that the value is at that position. So I you could look at it that way as well, where they feel like, okay, defensive tackle, we're not going to get a guy like Barmore in the second round, third round. Let's go with him here, and we can get our wide receiver and tight end somewhere in the next few rounds. I think that in the way my mock draft ended up, that's how they got Hunter Long in the fourth round out of Boston College. I believe I gave him Tutu Atwell, the wide receiver at Louisville in the third round. So, you know, in that scenario, I know the first round pick wasn't ideal for what a lot of fans are thinking, but I think, you know, the totality of the draft class in that haul, I think, made sense.
So I think that's the biggest thing, Dane, that we find throughout the course of the months that we have to talk about this thing before the actual event of the NFL draft comes up is what you're saying there about the wide receivers rings so true to me, because I looked at the depth of the wide receivers in this draft class and said, well, there's really no great urgency. Yes, you do need somebody to complete your wide receiving room. You can't run out there with A.J. Brown, Josh Reynolds, and Cam Batson and that be your starting wide receiving core. It's just not good enough. But the depth in this particular class, I think people, and this is a sports media issue, not necessarily a draft a draft media issue, but sports media, we get so obsessed with the top names, especially at the sexiest positions, wide receiver being premium among them, that you forget about, or at least the larger public forgets about, everybody else who's in this draft, and that your team can consistently improve between rounds two and five in a way that creates something substantive. When you're looking at later round wide receivers that make sense for the Tennessee Titans, understanding that the offensive coordinator has changed here, but a lot of the principles are going to stay similar to what they want to run, big-bodied guys, contested catch guys, still in need of a slot player, who kind of stands out to you maybe as a day three wide receiver that you say, okay, it makes a lot of sense for the Titans to kind of sit back and let the draft board fall to them, given that this guy is going to be sitting here on day three?
Yeah, no, there'll be plenty of options throughout day two. If they wait till day three, same type of thing. It depends on, you know, what type of receiver they're looking for. If they're looking for a slot starting in, you know, round four when day three starts, then, you know, you look at a guy like Cade Johnson out of South Dakota State, who's 5'10 and a half, 184 pounds. A guy that had no problem getting open at the Senior Bowl during practice. He's really quick, catches everything, just a really dependable player. I think he would make sense at that point in the draft. If you're looking for more of that big body who is going to go up and rebound the football, then, you know, maybe a guy like Simi Fehoko out of Stanford, 6'4", 222 pounds. He's going to play on special teams, and he's going to be that presence where he can pluck outside of his body, that catch radius. There's a lot to like with him. Cornell Powell out of Clemson. He's someone that'll be off the board in that fourth, fifth round area. 6 foot, 205 pounds. You know, he's maybe not explosive, but every step has a purpose. And the way he can zero in on the football is really impressive. Maybe they, you know, look over at Knoxville with a player like Josh Palmer out of Tennessee, where the production is not going to impress you. But I think that's more of a product of the quarterback and the offense and the problems that the Vols had on that side of the football, and not the talent that Josh Palmer offers. 6'1", 210, good speed. You know, watch him against Alabama and watch him win against Patrick Surtain on the outside. Really impressive. So he's fearless over the middle of the field. You feel like he has yet to play his best football. So, you know, this draft has those options, rounds 3, rounds 4, round 5. You can get some quality players that might end up outplaying where they're ultimately drafted.
Dane Brugler of The Athletic is here with us on 104.5 The Zone.
So, Dane, you have 5 wideouts taken in the first round of the upcoming draft in your latest mock for The Athletic. Last year it was the second most drafted position. 35 were taken, 6 in the first round. With the direction of college football offenses and how that's kind of trending, how much consideration do you think general managers are taking into the fact that there's going to be a lot of depth there and a lot of value, not just this season, in the next draft, in the draft after that? How much are they taking that into consideration, if at all?
Yeah, no, definitely. As offenses change, as you look at the way that these offenses are running with 4 wide and they're being more creative. Elijah Moore out of Ole Miss is a great example. In Lane Kiffin's offense, he was force-fed the football. He led the FBS last year in catches per game with 10.8. And so, you know, the production looks great. Almost 1,200 yards, 8 touchdowns. But, you know, a lot of it was underneath stuff. A lot of it was the way that they used him on offense. And so, you know, you have to have a plan in place for a guy like that. But the speed's awesome. You know, he ran in a 4.35 in the 40-yard dash. But it'll be interesting because we know it's a triple up effect where, high school offense is what they do, eventually gets to college, what college is doing, that's going to the NFL. And in the NFL, we're seeing a lot more spread. We're seeing a lot more, let's just get our best athletes on the field. And so we're going to see more and more wide receivers drafted. Last year, we set a record in the first 2 rounds with 12 wide receivers drafted. This year, you know, we could see more receivers drafted in the first 3 rounds than we did last year. So it's going to be a very well-represented position, not just because of need, but because the talent is there as well. You know, a guy like Rondale Moore out of Purdue, he'd be probably somewhere in consideration for the Titans with what he could offer out of the slot. 5'7", 180 doesn't look like much, but just get him the ball and let him have fun. Let him create. Let him do some things. And so it's really interesting, the dynamic of the wide receiver position, and I think it's here to stay. We're not going to see some low points in this position. It's going to be a strength, and that's something that teams will take into consideration. We're still going to see Jamar Chase, Jalen Waddle, Devontae Smith drafted high, but some teams are going to look at this and say, hey, we still feel good. Let's get our pass rusher here. Let's get our offensive tackle here, and we feel good about De'Ami Brown in the second round or Amari Rodgers out of Clemson on day 2, because it's just a position that's going to stretch.
Dane, the situation with Trevor Lawrence, where everybody is taking these quotes from the Sports Illustrated piece, likely not having read the Sports Illustrated piece, and creating more conversation out of them than need be, it does kind of bring some. And you've been doing this for a long time. Obviously, I don't want to tell people your age, but you've been doing this for a long time without being very old. So it's a credit to you and your work ethic. But you know a lot about this process more than the average person does, obviously. Throughout the course of this, there are conversations being had about why we can't just allow players to say what they want to say and be the kind of people who they want to be. But ultimately, what it comes down to, Dane, or at least maybe you can remind the audience of this or give them your perspective on this, is that NFL talent evaluators don't care how well-rounded of a person you are. They want to know that when you're going up against, in the Titans case, when you're going up against the Indianapolis Colts on Sunday, that you're not going to be distracted by the fact that you have outside interests, or it's not going to be too tough on you, and you feel like there is something better that you can be doing with your time. How singularly focused are NFL draft evaluators on simply the football side of things, and everything else, you know, just comes as extra for them?
You know, it's tough because it's a legitimate conversation to have. You could think back to, okay, a guy like Paxton Lynch, when he was coming out of Memphis, there were questions about, okay, well, you know, he doesn't have a great, an extensive resume. How much, you know, is he going to really buy into this? And, you know, John Elway, guy that played the position for a long time in the NFL, after meeting with him, after, you know, all this work, decided, okay, Paxton Lynch is the guy for us. turns out he did not love football enough to play it at the highest level. And that's just how it's a hard thing to do, because you think a guy is going to be all about football, and that's ideally what you want. But maybe what you should be looking for is someone who, is more well-balanced and, still holds football as a high priority, but is going to have the frame of mind where it's not going to be all end all for him. And so it's tough. Each different person and their mentality, the way they view the world, the way they go home at night, it's all different. And so you have to almost look at it on a case by case basis. And with Trevor Lawrence, I've never heard anything but good things, glowing things from scouts about his character, his moral compass, the way he carries himself. But it does get tricky when you talk about, does he have other interests? Does he want to affect the world in different ways? And you don't want to trivialize that. But at the same time, some teams, if you're not all football all the time, that might bother them a little bit. And I think more and more coaches are coming around. Bruce Arians has, a policy on his staff. If any of his assistants miss a ballet recital or a football game for one of his kids, that's a problem, and that's an issue. And so more and more coaches, I think, are understanding of just the balance that's required, just working smarter and not harder, that type of deal. And with quarterbacks, it's the same type of thing. You want balanced people, balanced humans in your locker room. You just have to make sure that football is their top priority, even if the priority list includes other things as well.
Dane, now for the most important question before we get you out of here. How many interviews have you done today?
This is six. So today, I have a double digit quota. All right, I can't do more than double digits because it just gets too much. So, but no, when you guys asked, I move things around. I said, sorry, I can't do this one. I can't do that one. I got to make time for this one. So, No worries there.
Oh, just flattery will get you everywhere. That's just a damn lie, though. Dane Brugler of The Athletic, we appreciate your time. Buddy, continued success. We love the product that you put out. Well worth your subscription at theathletic.com. You can follow my man, Dane Brugler, at DP Brugler on the socials. Enjoy the pre-draft process. Dane, just take a little time for yourself, okay? You're running yourself ragged at the expense of all of the sports talk radio stations across the country. Take a little time. Namaste.
Ten more days. So, all right. Until next time, guys.
See you, Dane. Dane Brugler of The Athletic. That's outrageous. Six already today. Double digits.
Anyway. We thought five was a lot with Jim Nagy.
Oh, listen, Jim's. They're all everybody in the country is calling like one set of 10 people and just burying them with the same questions week in and week out. But good information there. We'll react to it, and Lucas will give you his mock draft selections as well as some breaking news. I'm Buck Rising, and this is 104.5 The Zone. Ooh, smooth vibes. Feel like we're in a lounge somewhere, like a hotel lounge. There's a lot of shag carpet. Sexually suggestive. Here on 104.5 The Zone, Buck Rising with you until 1 o'clock.
Bearskin on a floor right there.
I have a bearskin rug. Well, I don't have a bearskin rug. My parents have a real bearskin rug. My stepdad went bear hunting. It's like a birthday present to himself. He like dropped himself in the middle of the Alaskan wilderness. No guide, no nothing. Went hunting for a bear. Came back with a black bear.
The coolest thing you could ever do, ever.
Richard Rising is not a man to be trifled with. But he, does have a bearskin rug. It's in front of the fireplace. Very, very masculine. I would never. Have you ever been hunting? I could never.
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 I don't trust myself.
Well, I went. He took me deer hunting one time. And I don't mind getting up early because obviously you get up at like 3:30. By the way, we're going to get to Lucas's mock draft here in a second. Many of you are commenting on Facebook Live, on Periscope, on YouTube, or Twitch TV. I will read your comments momentarily. I'm currently also getting dragged across the face of the internet yet again for a movie that I have not seen. We'll tell you all about that here in a second. But I went deer hunting with him for the first time, and I don't mind getting up at 3 a.m. Like, it's 2 hours earlier than I normally get up. So you get up at 3 a.m, you wear the appropriate gear, but I'd never been in a deer stand before, much less a deer stand. Like, I thought a deer stand was like a little, like a tree house, basically. And some of them are, but not the one that I was given. And so it's 3 a.m, it's freezing cold. I am very unhappy about being there largely. And I don't, I've shot a gun before, but it is not something that I'm terribly comfortable with. So the deer stand that I'm given is one that comes in two parts. And you essentially scale the tree with the deer stand. So you've got one part, which is the seat, and it has teeth in it that you hook onto the tree, like dig into the tree, and then pull yourself up while the second part is attached to your feet. And you're basically like scaling the tree, attaching the top part, pulling yourself up, hooking your feet, and then reattaching the top part. Like you're straight up climbing the tree. Okay? And this is without the gun. So I'm up. I finally get up there, and I am not in a position to be doing this kind of athletic, not necessarily athletics, but I'm just not in the kind of shape that I would use to a climbing stand, Josh Graham points out on Facebook Live. Thank you, Josh. So I'm using a climbing stand, for those of you who are more familiar with the hunting vernacular, trying to get up the side of the tree. Okay, so I get up the side of the tree. And then I'm trying to figure out, well, how the hell am I going to get the gun up here? And then all of a sudden my stepdad like ties a string to the gun, throws the string up and says, hey, dummy, just pull it up. Like, where'd you tie this string to? Because the only thing that I could think of is like the steel part of the trigger. Again, I'm sure I sound like an idiot. People who actually go hunting know what this is. Raymond Pfister on Twitch says, cannot see buck hunting or having a gun at all. Coffee, cell phone while getting his toes done is more like it, which is exactly spot on. I am 100% a pedicure, coffee, you know, book, cell phone, whatever. That is my type of deal. John Moss on Periscope says this sounds like a nightmare. In fact, it was one.
It does sound terrible.
It was awful.
When I listen to you spell it out, it sounds like just a terrible experience.
It was awful. And now we're down this rabbit hole. So we'll get to Lucas's mock draft coming up next. But so I'm scaling the side of the tree. And so he sends up the rope for me to like pull the gun up there, which I'm terrified of because I'm afraid I'm going to shoot myself in the face. I don't know anything to do with this. It's a 22, okay? So I get the gun up there, and then I'm just sitting there. And obviously, like, I don't want to move because I'm afraid that this climbing stand that I've had to attach to the side of the tree myself is not going to hold me up. And if I move, I'm going to plummet to my death with a gun in my hand and also get shot on the way down. So I'm waiting to see a deer. 3 hours pass. And the most wildlife that I see is a squirrel that continues to like troll me because he's scrambling around on the tree next to me, making me think that there is a deer coming, but no deer appears. 3 hours in a tree, no deer to show for it. Honestly, if a deer had shown up, it wouldn't have mattered. Like I would have panicked. I would have shot myself anyway instead of shooting the actual deer. And then had I shot the deer, I would have probably been too like queasy to do the field dressing part of it. I don't know if people actually like field dress. I'm sure some people do. But like, I don't want to take a picture with a dead animal. See all these people holding up the deer antlers, taking a picture with the deer? I don't want to touch that thing.
I like deer.
Yeah, deer, not they don't bother me, except when it's dark and I'm trying to drive.
I don't want to kill a deer. What do I want to kill a deer for?
No, it's, well, yeah, listen, some people like the hunt. I understand.
Oh, yeah, it's a great pastime.
Venison, very, very good.
Oh, yeah.
If you kill what you eat, which I hope most people do, otherwise you're just, you know, out here murdering deer. Not ideal. But so the hunting situation, not for me. That's the only experience I've had. So have you ever even thought about it?
No, I mean, I've like shot clay before,
yeah,
which is fun, but it's even that, like, I just don't trust my hand-eye coordination. I don't want to have to trust my hand-eye coordination with a weapon in my hands. Like, I will reap the you know, rewards. Like, I'll eat the venison. I just won't do the hard work to get the venison on my plate.
No, venison, delightful. Not worth the hassle. Like, I'll go to Whole Foods. They have venison. It's better for you. My version of hunting is trying to make sure I find the right aisle in Whole Foods.
I'm just not a patient person. Even like fishing can be fun, but some, you know, I can fish for one day and then I never want to fish for like weeks.
Now, fishing is like therapeutic. There's a difference between fishing and hunting. Hunting, you're in some place where you're probably not comfortable. The weather is not great, especially if like you're duck hunting and you're waist deep in freezing cold water in like November, I think is when duck season starts or something like that. I don't know anything about hunting. Here we are talking a full segment on hunting. You didn't think you were going to get this today on the radio show. But yes, nothing sounds worse to me than spending that much time in that kind of weather waiting for something that you may or may not actually see, and then having to take a life in your own hands and then take a picture with it afterwards. I don't want anything to do with the dead deer pictures. If that's how you vibe, that's totally cool. But it is not for me, and apparently not for Lucas either. What is for us, though, is the draft. What is for us, though, is the mock drafts, because we are knee-deep in mock drafts. We are getting closer and closer, hour by hour, minute by minute, second by second, here on 104.5 The Zone to the NFL draft. Lucas is going to give you who he selected in his Titans mock draft coming up next. But first, I got to remind you that 104.5 The Zone's 2021 NFL draft coverage is sponsored by our friends at Farm Bureau Health Plans. Need great health care coverage at an affordable price? Let Farm Bureau Health Plans coach you through it. They've been protecting Tennesseans since 1947. More mock drafts, more draft conversation coming up next. I'm Buck Rising, and this is 104.5 The Zone.